Good morning. Today is February 21, 2024, class 33 in the series on cosmology, Earth, and solar system history. We're on page 86, getting close to the end here. The document goes to page 92, and this is sort of the addenda sections of curiosities historically, some personalities, and unusual cases here at the end of the document. So last time we looked at some negatively oriented harvestables, Taras Bulba, Genghis Khan, Rasputin, and move now into some positively oriented folks, 19th century, 18th, 19th century USA, Lincoln, 1853, Franklin, and Jefferson. And it is interesting because Ra refers to what we would call a walk-in. And sometimes, you know, the lesson for me is that sometimes those flaky, super enthusiastic New Age folks are right on in their understanding of phenomena. It's not a common phenomenon of walk-in. And I wrote in my first book, From Elsewhere, about walk-ins and wanderers. But some of the people who I interviewed who consider themselves walk-ins later changed their opinion. And some of the people who thought they were walk-ins, I felt, probably weren't. And it's a little disputable because there are certain, at least there used to be, therapists, spiritual counselors, who believe themselves to be walk-ins and commonly believe their clients are commonly walk-ins, and that's their go-to explanation. Yet that is what Ra says is the case with Lincoln. And it is not only, if it is really a walk-in, that's their view, not only is that rare, but I think the case of Lincoln gives certainly one example when it would really happen. And this was particularly because Abraham Lincoln was a man in a very important position regarding planetary history. So Lawrence's note, bottom page 86, is, I've not found any event in the year 1853 to explain the walk-in which took place, Rock claimed. Lincoln had two suicidal episodes in 1835 and again in 1841, Lincoln's youngest son, Tad, was born in 1853. The mid-1850s were a time when Lincoln became increasingly politically active, joining the newly minted Republican Party in 1856. So it was 1853 that Ra pegged Lincoln's walk-in. So 2615, most of this is from session 26. Don asked, wondering if the one Abraham Lincoln could have possibly been a wanderer. Ra said, this is incorrect. This entity was a normal, shall we say, earth being, which chose to leave the vehicle and allow an entity to use it on a permanent basis. This is relatively rare compared to the phenomenon of wanderers. You would do better considering the incarnations of wanderers, such as the one known as Thomas and the one known as Benjamin. Don immediately catches that it could be Thomas Edison and Benjamin Franklin, and it was actually Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. So Jefferson and Franklin both identified as wanderers. That doesn't mean that everything they did in their life was good. Just being a wanderer doesn't guarantee the person will live a life of virtue and morality. Certainly Benjamin Franklin had some pretty unsavory associations, and Jefferson also has been criticized for various matters. So, okay, but there is then the sense that at the start of the American Republic, a number of wanderers were high placed to enunciate the values of liberty and human rights, and like the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So, okay. More about Lincoln, 2617. Don asks, can you tell me where the entity that used Lincoln Abraham's body, what density he came from, and where did he come from? Ra said the entity was fourth vibration. Don assumes positive. Ra said it's correct, so 4D positive. He goes on, and this is the last selection from session 26 on Lincoln. Was his assassination in any way influenced by Orion or any other negative force? Ra said this is correct. I mean, Orion plays both sides, and so anything that puts out the light, puts out love light, or diminishes love light, makes it less likely for people to develop their own, develop consciousness, which is the development of light, actually. So light as the basis of seven rays, right? Like the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon album. From the void emerges a line of light going, passing through a triangular prism, or it comes out as seven. And so the seven is of the one, or is are differentiations of the one, is a differentiation of the one into seven. But before there were seven rays, there was one light, and before that, there's the source of light. So, to whatever degree Orion successfully diminishes the development of beings or souls evolving, seven chakra evolution, developing higher qualities of light, higher chakra energies, versus lower chakra blockage. That's part of what they would be seeking. So getting rid of all good people is part of what Orion does to capture the light that's been denied or that is temporarily made unavailable by their activity. So that's what's going on here to some degree. How the chairman benefits, that's an open question. So, okay. So in 30, session 35, Don picked it up again and said, earlier we discussed Abraham Lincoln as a rather unique case. Is it possible for you to tell us what the orientation was and why the fourth density being used Abraham's body and when this took place with regard to with respect to the activities that were occurring in our society at that time? Meaning, he's wondering, is it associated with a civil war? The orientation, Ross said, was positive, so we know it's 4D positive coming in. Ross said, this is possible, meaning it's possible for us to tell you what you're asking. Don said, would it be of value for the reader to know this in your estimation? And Ra throws back the question or the responsibility, the privilege of deciding what to ask back to Don. Ra said, you must shape your queries according to your discernment. So this is scrupulous non-interference. They're not saying you should ask these and you shouldn't ask that. Would it be of value to the reader to know this in your estimation? What's of value in Ra's estimation is that Don, by his own discernment, asked questions he felt were most important. That's like, people would ask me in counseling what's best, what I think is best, and I would say, well, you knowing what you feel is best. You discovering what you really want, or you knowing yourself and taking really good care of yourself is best. However you yourself figure it out is best. What I would do and what you would do may not be the same. Some cases you shouldn't do what I do, and I shouldn't do what you do. So what's best? What we determine we most wish, we most value. So what we most value should be known and ought to be honored. Honor your value. Know your values. Honor your values. Live in accord with your values, like that. And then regularly question and consider improvement. So there's an upgrading of our values or understanding. So, okay, Don takes it and throws it back and says, "Well, in that case, I would like to know the motivation for this use of Abraham Lincoln's body at that time. What was the point?" And Ross said, "This will be the last full query of the session, 35." And they give a very long answer, actually. And this ends the section. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs or so. And I'll read it through and restrain myself from commenting until I've read it through. The one known as Abraham Lincoln had an extreme difficulty in many ways, and due to physical, mental, and spiritual pain, was weary of life, but without the orientation to self-destruction. No suicide. In your time, 1853, this entity was contacted in sleep by a fourth density being. This being was concerned with the battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, which have been waged in fourth density for many of your years. That's the Armageddon, as Ross said. This entity, the one that wished to come in, the fourth density being that contacted him in sleep. This entity accepted the honor duty of completing the one known as Abraham's karmic patterns. And the one known as Abraham discovered that this entity would attempt those things which the one known as Abraham desired to do but felt it could not. Thus the exchange was made. The entity, Abraham, was taken to a plane of suspension until the cessation of its physical body, much as though we of Ra would arrange with this instrument to remain in the vehicle, come out of the trance state, and function as this instrument, leaving this instrument's mind and spirit complex in its suspended state. Meaning they arrange with Carla to speak through the body and for her to be in a suspended state. The planetary energies at this time, meaning 1850s, were at what seemed to this entity to be a critical point. This is the fourth density entity coming in, I think. For that which you know as freedom had gained in acceptance as a possibility among many peoples. This entity, the fourth density entity, saw the work done by those beginning the democratic concept of freedom, as you call it, in danger of being abridged or abrogated by the rising belief and use of the principle of the enslavement of entities. This is a negative concept of a fairly serious nature in your density. This entity, therefore, went forward into what it saw as the battle for the light of healing of a rupture, for healing of a rupture in the concept of freedom. This entity, again, the 4D positive entity, this entity did not gain or lose karma by these activities due to its detachment from any outcome. Its attitude throughout was one of service to others, more especially to the downtrodden or enslaved. The polarity of the individual was somewhat but not severely lessened by the cumulative feelings and thought forms which were created due to a large number of entities leaving the physical plane due to the trauma of battle. May we ask if this is the information you requested or if we may supply any further information? So it's a complicated reply. It seems Abraham Lincoln, Abraham, had a whole lot of pain, physical, mental, spiritual pain. He was already world weary, even though he wasn't that old in 1853. He wasn't oriented to suicide, but he was really tired and in pain, in some angst, significantly, I would think, physical, mental, spiritual. Then, because of what was going on in global civilization, particularly this conflict between freedom and enslavement, a 4D positive entity who was aware of this, and we know that 4D positive is the only level that does some kind of direct holding action, neutralizing so-called battle against Orion in time space and non-physical levels. This entity is part of that sort of team that neutralizes Crusaders, something like that. Like yesterday, I was reading about Lord Indra slaying an Asura who was a dragon type, and his name was like Vritri Asura, something hard to pronounce with a V and R. And it is part of the work of not only Fort Density but some higher beings to keep the negatives in line now and then. It's kind of funny that the higher level doesn't do that. The higher level, or logos, or council, or guardians, they just support the metaphysics of the octave so that we can do it, or so it could be done here. Multi-dimensional right action is a challenge because at different level of development, right action changes what ought to be done. In any case, Lincoln in 1853 didn't want to live, but he didn't want to kill himself. He was contacted by an entity that was concerned with the battle between forces of light and forces of darkness, which had been waged in Fort Density for many of your years. So just fresh from the Armageddon 4D plane light contest or light conflict between Orion and the Confederation, that entity contacted Lincoln. By the cost, in a sense, for the privilege of not having to go through infancy and childhood, the birth process and infancy and childhood and all that, just to come right in fresh off the boat, there was honor duty or requirement to complete Lincoln's karmic patterns. Meanwhile, Lincoln himself probably was pleased in discovering that the entity coming in would indeed do the things that that Lincoln wished to do but felt he couldn't. So he was world weary and exhausted and in pain, and yet wanted to do certain things but felt he couldn't. And this entity made it clear that he could. So then Lincoln himself gets taken to the plane of suspension, similar to how Carla was in a sixth density or fifth density suspension, a plane of suspension during the channelings. And that was until the end of the physical lifetime, the end of the body. And I don't think that means Lincoln was unconscious. How that's done, obviously, higher self can do something like that, or higher entity. I'm sure it was in accord with higher self, so it wasn't just fourth density entity contacting Lincoln with his conscious mind only. It was probably Lincoln and the higher self there, and the fourth density entity and the higher self that it was of made this agreement and made it happen. Then Ra talks about the planetary energies at that time. The entity that came in was a very serious server, and fourth density is nothing to shake a stick at either. And so we can think, or looking at New Age groups or a lot of folks that seem to be love over wisdom, stars in their hair, flaky spirituality. That is not the way it really is in fourth density, much less sixth density. So that kind of naivete or immaturity is not the way of life in fourth density. And particularly those that are doing that holding action against Orion are very serious, because they really are neutralizing a lot of potential harm that the Logos maintains. So, I mean, in some sense, the whole creation or the octave is like a training ground for souls, where it didn't have to be this way, but it is, for this development of light by challenging catalyst. So anyway, that fourth density entity, with the big picture, had a sense that there was a danger to the slowly anchoring concept of freedom within the collective mind. Freedom had gained in acceptance as a possibility among many people in the mid 19th century, I guess, were turning towards appreciation of personal self-determination, autonomy, not infringement and control. The 14th century entity saw the work done by those beginning the democratic concept of freedom, beginning or developing this taste for freedom and individual rights, that the individual is really important. In many ways, actually, the individual is more important than the collective, I would say. And totalitarians and controllers of all stripe, of all nation, of all culture, of all religion or none, are very. It's actually considered a sin in some sense to put the collective ahead of the individual. I think that the best of. I mean, I remember some Orthodox Jewish people talking about this in reference to the COVID operation, that. Individual right is paramount. Individual rights are paramount. And that is then the right of any individual to be to have their freedom to self-determine, maintained and preserved. That the notion that the individual ought to be subservient to the group or subordinate to the collective, this is negative philosophy. Of course, at higher levels of development, it is the individual's self-determination that they all wish to make an ideal collective. But individual freedom is not eclipsed. Or when there's compromise is willingly accepted, seen as right for both parties in the compromising. And where there really is unfair, they're very keenly aware of what's fair and just. While the individual's rights are paramount. That means every individual's rights. So that immediately negates control tendencies, or the ripening or flowering of control tendencies. That's seen as non-voluntary or, forced compliance. So. Putting the collective ahead of the individual is really the way of negatives, sorry to say. And a lot of groups, I mean, the individual needs to respect every individual. So the collective is really going to, the best collective would be one where all the individuals are pulling in the same direction because they want to. It's of their free will to pull. It's of the by their free will, they end up actually pulling in the same direction, and thus any or all make compromise as needed, happily. But the justice is number one, particularly the justice that the individual shall not have their rights and freedoms infringed. So, okay. The freedom concept of freedom was being abridged, it was being abrogated. There was indeed rising belief in use of the principle of enslavement, of slavery. So while politically it may be true that Lincoln, I mean, revisionist history, 19th century Civil War, commonly from what I've heard, I'm not a scholar on this, but from what I've heard, people say, well, Lincoln really didn't fight against the South to free the slaves, or he was okay with slavery. Maybe so. I'm not here to argue for him or against him. But at that time, globally, it may well have been that the U.S. Civil War, which definitely did have a conflict, a theme of slavery versus no slavery, for sure. That was part of what was being contested. Was more important than maybe than revisionist historians would recognize, because they have no metaphysical understanding anyway. So there are a lot of things going on globally that are intangible because they are of the human collective consciousness, immaterial development of thought tendencies. They're not material, it's subtle, but it's real. It's of the collective and may wax or wane, may grow or subside, may morph and shift, and all sorts of patterns of development of thought or values particularly, are occurring in the collective consciousness, unbeknownst to most folks, and a higher dimensional positive being could see that and be concerned with subtle shifting balance that we would never see, that would have significant outcome or consequences in the decades to come. So, the principle of enslavement of entities is a negative concept of fairly serious nature in your density. Yeah, it's a pretty important, pretty, it's a pretty serious wrong action, enslavement, for sure. It's goes to totalitarian control, and it's the way of negatives, obviously. So then, this fourth density entity, who was a crusader, a crusader for love light, you can say, went forward into what it saw as the battle for the light, for healing a rupture in the concept of freedom. And that's what I'm saying about immaterial thought streams in human collective consciousness being perceptible, obviously by higher dimensional beings, obviously invisible to us, the zeitgeist kind of thing, the zeitgeist of the age shifts with time, just like the cycles and how and the fourth turning and all that. That kind of thing is true. There are cycles, but there are subtle developments that come out in new cultural tendencies or strengthening or weakening of existing tendencies. So anyway, this 4D entity was probably part of the Confederation of balancing against Orion in 4D light battles prior. This entity, interestingly, didn't gain or lose karma by its activities because of detachment from outcome. And so that's a traditional Vedic or Hindu philosophical position that action without attachment to consequence, meaning detachment from outcome, is of liberation, or is of the higher way, is righteous in a sense. So, of course, normally we act out of desire, for personal or collective or something, to get or to develop or to grow or to drop or to prevent. And there's almost always some attachment to outcome. But the more one does meditation, the more one may have the sense that whatever happens is for the best. Particularly if it doesn't happen, also, it couldn't have happened. Just because I can imagine it happening doesn't mean it will or it can. Just because something makes sense doesn't mean it's true. Gautama said that also. Don't just trust or believe what he says because it makes sense, and makes sense, or it agrees or coincides with what you already believe. Just because it agrees with you doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's logical and reasonable and makes sense doesn't mean it's true. It's these matters are more subtle. So this entity somehow didn't have attachment to outcome and just did its best and let the chips, fall where they do. That attitude was service to others, most especially to downtrodden or enslaved, so there was a lot of compassion and sympathy. So I wonder, I mean, you'd have to read a biography of Lincoln or a few, to see if there was some personality change from 1853 onwards. And anyway, the polarity of the individual, and I think we're talking about the individual 4D positive entity, it was somewhat but not severely lessened. And so this is a teaching on emotion, emotion and polarization, particularly the emotion of disappointment or angst or sorrowfulness, let's say. Ross said that that entity's polarity was somewhat lessened, not severely, but somewhat lessened by its cumulative feelings and thought forms. By what? The cumulative thought, feelings, and thought forms which were created due to large number of entities dying, leaving the physical plane due to trauma battle, dying violently, traumatic dying. Lessened, so the polarity was lessened a bit by the creation of the cumulative feelings and thought forms which were created. You mean by which that entity developed? Created by who? Well, it's created by the entity, I would imagine. We're talking about the entity's polarity. It seems like Ra's saying that walk-in, that the Lincoln walk-in from 1853 onwards, didn't gain or lose karma because it had some significant out detachment and a sense of whatever will be, and that's okay. But its polarity was somewhat reduced or lessened by its own cumulative feelings and thoughts associated with witnessing or being responsible for a significant number of soldiers dying by violence in war. And it's interesting that while the entity didn't, gain karma, lose karma. What does it mean, lose karma? That also is not explained. Gain karma here seems to mean established negative karmic seeds, didn't accumulate karmic load, although it ordered men to battle, as Lincoln in World War, in Civil War. So while it did order men to battle, the entity that was using Lincoln's body to counteract, the damage to the concept of freedom. While it didn't gain any karmic load, its polarity was somewhat reduced, a little depolarization. By what? Actually, by its own creation of certain feelings and thoughts and feelings, its own attitudes of thinking, feeling, associated with the fact of a lot of men dying violently in the war. And that, seems like compassion or sympathy or a kind of love to feel for their suffering. It was probably that there may have been some bitterness and anger. There may have been a heavy discouragement or depression in the entity in Lincoln's body during Civil War when it ordered men into battle. And all the biographies of Lincoln kind of show him as deeply upset by the course of the war, particularly the violence. So getting stuck in discouragement also can be depolarizing, of let alone, of course, bitterness of some sort regarding the negative activity can be depolarizing. So, okay. Anyway, anybody who knows more about Lincoln could look into that and see if there was any personality shift in the last decade or so. Now, going on, mid page 88, a few two exchanges regarding Aleister Crowley. Ra, Don asks 1883, 1810, then 1811. Don says, the entity Aleister Crowley wrote, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law, end quote. Don says, he was obviously in understanding, to some extent, of the law of one. Where's this entity now? Ross said, the entity is within your inner planes. This entity is in a healing process. This is like saying, do what thou wilt means free will, self-determination. The whole of the law. Well, if the law of free will is the first law is not the whole of the law, and there's also the purpose for which the three laws, or the law of one and the law of free will, exist. And to even call them law is deceptive, or potentially confusing, or confused, actually. The word dharma, dhamma, in Pali, dharma in Sanskrit, commonly translates as law. It also translates as sort of the way, with a capital W, or even truth, or righteousness. So my karma ran over my dogma, my karma ran over my dogma, or my karma ran over my dharma. Karma dharma. Righteous dharma. lessons and frees one from karma. If one knows what that means. So dharma, a little bit like Saturn, is sort of righteous obligation and righteous obedience to cosmic law. Which really just means continuing on our path, actually, and respecting others. But the law of free will isn't the whole of cosmic order. And there's a purpose for which there is free will. And that Crowley didn't really get, I think. So he's in the inner planes in a healing process. That's a very terse answer. Don follows up and asks, did this entity then, even though he intellectually understood the law of one, misuse it, and therefore have to go through this healing process? That's an understatement. And I wouldn't say that he intellectually understood the law of one, just from that statement. Doing what you want, or free willing, is the whole of cosmic law? I don't think so. So, I wouldn't even say he intellectually understood the law of one. Ra replies and says, 1811, this entity became, may we use the vibration sound complex, overstimulated with the true nature of things. This overstimulation resulted in behavior that was beyond the conscious control of the entity. The entity thus, in many attempts to go through the process of balancing, as we've described the various energy centers beginning with red ray and moving upwards, somewhat overly impressed or caught up in this process and became alienated from other selves. This entity was positive, and that's allusion to positive base. However, its journey was difficult due to the inability to use, synthesize, and harmonize the understandings of the desires of self so that it might have shared in full compassion with other selves. Didn't do that. This entity thus became very unhealthy, as you may call it, in a spiritual complex manner. And it is necessary for those with this type of distortion towards inner pain to be nurtured in the inner planes until such an entity is capable of viewing the experiences again with the lack of distortion towards pain. So Lincoln in pain, Crowley in pain, America in pain, concept of freedom being damaged in the mid-19th century as well. Ra had said, again, it's a statement that can't be overemphasized. They said something like, a large percentage of all progression occurs through the catalyst, through traumatic catalyst. So Earth humanity regularly creates for itself traumatic catalyst because it doesn't have the habit of evolving without it, it seems. So, or in general, a large percentage of all progression goes by traumatic catalyst, means the minority, the much lesser extent of progression goes without trauma catalyst or trauma. You can go the hard way, or you can go an easier way. Most people here seem to not be able to go an easier way or evolve and polarize without trauma. So that's something to bear in mind when we try to make peace with living here. Okay, so overstimulated with the true nature of things. This is a kind of spiritual inflation. It's a type of Zen sickness. The Zen tradition, Japanese Zen, might call it a Zen sickness. It's associated with opening sixth chakra while there are certain significant blockages in the lower chakras, while the entity is actually attempting to go on the positive path. I mean, there can be fifth, sixth chakra activation strong with chakras 1 through 4, particularly 2, 3, 4, block significantly on the negative path. But Crowley was positive at base. And so that's why Ross said that he was involved in many attempts to go through the process of balancing. It didn't look like that from the outside. It looked like he was developing new methods of contacting demons and controlling humans and doing sacrifices and gaining magical ability. That doesn't look like balancing to me, but maybe that's really what he was seeking, his own greater healing and balance. So he opened the higher before he was capable of safely handling the voltage. And higher, particularly strict chakra, intelligent energy, right? Power, light, power, accessed by sixth chakra activation, gateway to intelligent infinity as well. This is akin to spiritual voltage that really can be felt in the body, in samadhi. Particularly, Shaktipat, Kundalini from the Hindu tradition. It's quite real, quite tangible, quite unprovable, but it's the purpose for various physical mudras or locks, like cross your legs and close your mouth and close your eyes, breathe through the nose and put your fingers or hands in a certain posture. These are physical energy loop locks that support the capacity of the body, the energy body and the physical body, the energy bodies to support or circulate a higher voltage that comes in through that sixth chakra activation, which gets heightened in meditation. So he became somewhat overly impressed or caught up in the process of balancing, became alienated from others, and that's probably more serious than it sounds. A little dissociative, maybe, or sociopathic, antisocial, alienated from other selves. Ra talks always very gently about all sorts of things. He could have been akin to sociopathic, actually, and that they would have covered by the phrase alienated from other selves. And impressed and caught up in the process could come out as monstrous, egomaniacal. So what we might say is monstrous, egomaniacal narcissism. Ra may say is overly impressed and caught up in the process. That may be euphemism. So nevertheless, he's positive. But I don't know how much he was doing in service to humanity. His journey was difficult because he couldn't use, synthesize, and harmonize his own desires, desires of self, so that he could have, had he been able to use, synthesize, and harmonize his own desires, he could have shared in full compassion with others, but obviously he wasn't doing that at all. And this is actually a very important teaching sentence. His journey was difficult, okay. This is associated with difficult life journey, or a difficult life, or painful life. this inability. It's an inability to know yourself, and to the extent of knowing the spectrum of personal desires. And by that inability, or by not being able to know and accept, but also use, synthesize, and harmonize personal desires, without being able to do that, one can't share wholly, naturally, heartfully with others. Wholly, naturally, heartfully, might have shared in full compassion with other selves. What is full compassion? We're not perfect saints here. So it doesn't necessarily mean perfect love, compassion, without blockage. But I would say a kind of full-bodied, whole, sincere, thorough, deep and broad, spontaneous, authentic sharing, open heart, sharing with others with open heart, authentic sharing. He couldn't do that, obviously. Why? And when we can't do that, why? Well, one reason would be this. This inability to actually honestly know the range or spectrum of our desires, and to be able to identify contradictory desires, because we have that too. And so then an ability to use, synthesize, harmonize the understandings of one's desires, to use one's use my understanding of my desire, or use my desire with understanding to be of service to other. Use by synthesizing and harmonizing, coordinating, make peace with the personal self, accept, understand, synthesize, coordinate, harmonize the personal self desires to move to authenticity. You know, what is authenticity? That type of authenticity, or real deep, sincere being present as fully as one can be, without internal, you know, without no-go zones, without self-deception or deceiving other. By that, know yourself, accept yourself, particularly desire one's own desires, personal desires. Making harmony between them. Then one may share most wholly, authentically with others. And because he couldn't do that, and became overly caught up in the process of balancing, but it was really intensively stimulating himself, I think, he became very unhealthy in the spirit complex. This is sixth chakra blockage. And not the same as sort of an undeveloped sixth chakra, which is a simple type of blockage. It just hasn't been, it's a wild field. This is a wild field, unprepared for planting, an undeveloped sixth chakra. But this is actually not that. This is a distorted and unhealthy, imbalanced, metaphysically damaged sixth chakra, a spirit complex manner, unhealthy. So that's rare. Sometimes that shows up as moles on the forehead, unusual phenomena, marks on or lines on the forehead, indicates, sometimes can indicate, Hilarion talked about this, can indicate distortions or unhealthy tendencies or some kind of karmic load of the spiritual complex. A person who went wrong in doing serious spiritual practice in past lives. So, okay, became very unhealthy in spirit complex, and a significant blockage, distortion to sixth chakra operation. And then, and what this is comparable to a type of distortion towards inner pain. Inner meaning at the spirit complex level, meaning inner at the soul. It's not just the personal mind. It's, and you see this with some people, they come in deeply distraught. It's not even conditioned by circumstance or family system. They've just been unwell since the day they were born, this kind of thing. And sometimes that can be, I guess, a distortion towards inner pain. Then, of course, those with that inner pain would be nurtured in the inner planes until they can view their life again, do a life review. So this is the healing, this is a type of healing that precedes life review, that precedes and coordinates with preparation for the next lifetime in the after-death process. So I think we all have some degree of inner pain, but that doesn't mean everybody has significantly damaged sixth chakra or have a complex distortion field in sixth chakra, unusual energy anomaly. I'm not sure what the right word would be, in sixth chakra, which accords with spirit complex. So, in any case, he's still on the inner planes, I would imagine, and he may be a bit horrified when he looks back on his lifetime as to what he did. And Ra, of course, downplays it significantly. The last section I think we'll cover for today, bottom page 88, cover over into 89 on Tunguska. You'll see smart human scientists in various countries, particularly in the West, talking about meteor, Tunguska as a meteor or comet or something. And Ross said no, not. So I'm sure the Russians know exactly. I'm sure the Russians know that Tunguska was as Ross said it is, and they don't speak. Because nobody wants to be too honest here. 17:3, Don said, "In meditation a few nights ago, I had the impression of a question about a crater in Russia. I believe it was in Tunguska. Can you tell me what caused the crater?" Ross said, "The destruction of a fission reactor caused this crater." Don says, "Whose reactor?" Ross said, "This was what you may call a drone sent by Confederation, which malfunctioned. It was moved to an area where its destruction would not cause infringement upon the will of mind, body, spirit complexes. It was then detonated." So it's a drone, unmanned, from the Confederation. It malfunctioned. So higher densities are not perfect in their technologies or their development. It's a s strange, all very strange. It basically, its fission reactor, fusion fission, nuclear fission reactor, was destroyed or detonated to destroy. It was the self-destruct button was pushed. That created the crater. 17:5, Don asked, "What was the purpose, its purpose in coming here?" Ra said, "It was a drone designed to listen to the various signals of your peoples. You were, at that time," this is a early 20th century, "beginning work in a more technical sphere. We were interested in determining the extent and the rapidity of your advances. This drone was powered by a simple fission motor, or engine as you'd call it. It was not the type which you now know, but was very small. However, it has the same destructive effect upon third density molecular structures as a nuclear bomb or explosion. Thus, as it malfunctioned, we felt it was best to pick a place for its destruction rather than attempting to retrieve it, for the possibility, probability modes of this maneuver looked very, very minute," meaning the possibility of being able to successfully retrieve it was negligible or not much at all. The possibility of successful rescue of the malfunctioning device was nil, very little. So they found a right place to detonate it and push the self-destruct button. So, kind Confederation, I mean, the only souls that the souls that are tasked, who take upon themselves the task and in some sense naturally face the task of service to others in their density, are themselves learning along the way. And in some sense, in some degree, to some extent, in certain ways, fourth and fifth and sixth density isn't so different from here. In some sense, there's still trial and error. There's still differentiated, apparently individuated beings. There's sense of self. There's decision. There's great knowledge and lesser knowledge. There's action that has, unexpected consequences. It's not like the devas are not arhats, and confederation is not, they are not guardians. And so they do all sorts of projects, and sometimes it leads to what they expected and intended, and sometimes it goes the opposite. And they make devices for working here, and I guess they don't have a crew that could simply telepathically pick all this up, or they don't have souls that want to do that. We don't have the Cosmic Marines or the Delta Force, what would be the Alpha Force, or the Sixth Density. Commando units of great psychic ability who could be monitoring Earth communications without technology. I don't know. I really think that in general, higher dimensional beings have a sense that, well, you have free will here, and we ourselves chose to be here with this group that does indeed have free will, to whatever extent they're aware of it. And if they make a quasi hell and a lot of suffering and pain and bloodshed and distortion, that's not on the higher dimensional beings' plate. That's what these souls, with given lots of freedom and opportunity to do anything, have done for themselves. And we're here, so we can't complain either. So there's no blame, there's no complain. In general, higher dimensional beings leave lower dimensional beings to their own devices, especially if they're not calling. So they all also have many things to do and still depend on technology to some degree, obviously. And I guess you don't have a crack team of metaphysical commandos in sixth density or 456 that'll obviate the need for all this technology, which clearly sometimes goes wrong. All right. 177. Don follows up, says, I believe that an analysis of the trees in that area has shown a low radiation level. Is this the reason for such a low radiation level in the trees? That it was a nuclear device. Don seems to be emphasizing the fact of the radiation level being low. It was low. For what reason? Actually, there was a prior QA. So 17.6, 17.7, Don asks, was its danger both blast and radiation? And Ra explains this. There's very little radiation, as you know it, in this particular type of device. There's radiation which is localized, but the localization is such that it does not drift with the winds, as does the emission of your somewhat primitive weapons. And that's where Don picked up, and I jumped in too early. That's where he mentioned that analysis of trees in the area shows that low radiation level. Is it because this type of device emits localized, non-mobile radiation? And Ross said, that's correct. The amount of radiation is very localized. However, the energy which is released is powerful enough to cause difficulties. See? They don't get into specificity until they're pushed. to some degree. And sometimes they seem to be quite specific, and sometimes they're not. Difficulties, well, I think a whole bunch of acres and mountainsides were flattened, or something like that. So, okay, but as usual, the leaders of East and West don't really share critical truths with their population, and that's the groups, that's the way they are. Okay, so that's Tunguska. It was a Confederation drone that was self-detonated, and it was radiation damage and explosion. And that's where we'll end for today, because the next section is on Roosevelt. It's a long section. Then we go to Hitler and Himmler and Dewey Larson. And that's it. So we end with Dewey Larson. Before that is Hitler-Himmler. And we'll pick up next time starting with Roosevelt. So we're kind of looking at World War II a little bit. I hope it was useful. It's kind of bonus material. Not always focused on principles, but, you know, more or less interesting. In any case, I hope that was useful to you, and I hope you're well. See you next time. Take good care, and good night.